Welcome to the X-Line, the show all about the Fujifilm X-Series cameras and the stories behind the gear. I'm Mark Sadowski, and this is episode 9. All right, so it's fairly obvious that I haven't recorded a show in quite some time, and that's an understatement. And it's important that I tell you why this happened. One day I was looking at my newspaper and I read my horoscope, and instead of words, it was just a picture of a mushroom cloud. And I knew at that point it was not going to be a great day. In all seriousness, there was some big, huge things that I needed to take care of, and it goes as follows. So my business has been slowly declining for some reason. My wedding photography clients just, you know, it was going great, and then it just all of a sudden slowed to a trickle, and I never understood why. And I didn't know if it was just, you know, just the way I was, you know, doing my search engine, like the SEO optimization on my articles. I didn't know what was happening. All I knew, it was everything was going fine one moment, and then it was gone the next. And I would look at my website to see if, you know, the forms worked and everything, and the forms were working fine. Everything checked out. It's, you know, I guess things were slow. Well, I was using WordPress at this time, and it turns out when I was logged in as the admin, I saw this little thing that I didn't see before called feedback, and it was never there before. I never put it in there. Maybe it appeared out of an update or something. And so I decided to go into this this tab and see what was in there. And one thing you got to understand, whether it's email or text messaging or on the website comments, I get inundated with spam. You know, just anybody who's a professional photographer will know that there's just spam coming at all directions. And you know, thought this was no different. I mean, look at all this spam in this folder. And then I opened one of them, because sometimes I get a kick out of reading them. Because one thing about spam is that they're never in any sort of proper English. They just suck. And I looked at some of these and I'm like, wow, this spam is really well articulated. It's, I mean, they use proper English for a change. That's pretty remarkable. And look at this. They even use the same area codes as... Oh, this isn't spam. And my heart sank, because for some reason, there was a large percentage of forms that were filled out that never made it into my inbox for whatever reason. And I looked at these, and I would say about 1 out of 10 would make it into my inbox, and the rest just stayed in this feedback folder. And I missed out on a lot of clients, potential clients. And my heart just sank, because like I just absolutely dropped the ball. I just did not know this was happening. And when when I filled out the forms were working fine. You know, those test messages that I sent through the through the forms were appearing in this feedback folder, like 100% made it into this feedback folder, but for whatever reason, not all of them sent properly to my inbox. And so it was just crazy. It was just, you know, so many missed opportunities here. And like my heart sank. So I leapt into action. Now knowing where all the things were going, I was able to check this feedback folder on a regular basis. And in the meantime, I was creating a new website using Squarespace. And that took me a little while to make and get that operational. On top of that, I realized that there was a problem with my messaging, because obviously things were not going into my mailbox. And I now realize that, you know, whenever I sent a message to a client, and this is just a basic message saying, you know, let's meet at this, or let's touch base this day. And I would get some phone calls saying that, no, I never, in fact, got your message. And so now this was like the last straw. I mean, the feedback thing, you know what? I'll own that problem. That was an expensive lesson to learn, but it was mine to learn, and that's fine. But this email issue, I wasn't having any of it. I called my tech support and complained. And we were able to replicate the error. For whatever reason, certain messages that just never got, they were sent but never delivered, and vice versa, they would just never make it into the inbox. And basically, my web host was basically like, meh, oh, that's life. They have no fix for it. And so that was a really crushing realization. And so now I'm using Squarespace, and now I'm using Gmail as my primary point of contact with clients. So that was, you know, that was all of that happening. It took a long time for me to develop a brand new website. I tried to do it as fast as I can, as efficiently as I can. I know haste makes waste. I didn't want to, you know, break anything. I didn't want to rush too much, but I didn't want to waste any time either. So that was that. And now, now I am, it turns out that I am laid off from my primary job. Photography has been my side job, but I've always had a full-time job. And now I'm at the point where I have been laid off, or I'm about to be laid off. I'm actually still finishing up a few more weeks of work. But I am now standing on this incredible, I feel like I'm looking at over the side of a cliff. And do I go photography full time, or do I keep looking for work? It's really, really scary right now. I'm no longer at that point where it's like, hey, I'm single, I could do whatever. I have a wife and kids and a mortgage. So I am like at a really interesting crossroads in my life where I just don't know what my future is. Scary and exciting. And so that is my life in a nutshell to this point. I am trying my very best to recover my photography business. That has taken a tumble. Just from the, you know, just the lack of communication and just that, I mean, that feedback folder debacle, that really really stung. And now I have, you know, now I have the new website, which is 10 times better than what the website used to be. But it is just that it's a rebuilding process, and I am just trying to rebuild my business. Whether I can make it into a full-time business, who knows? I mean, I'm still looking for work. I'm still doing the thing, trying to find a new full-time job. I did email marketing, by the way. That is my daytime, weekday job. Wedding photography and any kind of photography is my weekend work. So yeah, it's been crazy. I really apologize for not putting out shows sooner, but this has been one crazy summer. So yeah, that has been my experience. And you know, I've been, every time I, you know, get ready to do an episode of the X Line, it's like I get the microphone set up, get the computer all set up, and then it's like, oh my God, after this day, like, I just don't have the energy, the motivation. And you know, it's been, you know, I'm just trying to get by. On the one hand, now that I am going to have a lot more free time with the layoff, I will absolutely make more time for recording episodes. One of my buddies suggested that I start a Patreon, but I'm not going to do that because the time difference between from last episode and this episode has been too much. And I feel that I have not earned this loyal audience's money. I need to earn this back. I need to be better at this, and I am going to put forth that now that I've completed those other hurdles in my life, now that I've made a new website, now that I've, from what I understand, corrected my email issue. You know, now that those things are taken care of, I'm now able to redirect that energy into something more creative and hopefully therapeutic, and starting back the X Line back up again. And so I don't know. We'll see. I want to do more audio shows. I want to do more video shows. I want to. This is my time to earn your trust again. I've had a lot of people write to me over the time period saying that they enjoyed the shows. They missed a show, and it was awesome hearing back from everybody, hearing everybody's enjoyment of the shows. And I'm going to keep doing them for as long as I can. You know, as long as I have a story to tell, or I could get another X series shooter to share their stories, I'll keep doing these podcasts. And looking forward to many, many more to come. And hopefully I can do it more than just once a month. I hopefully can do it maybe every other week, now that time is available. But we'll see. But I wanted to start this show to explain my absence and to ask for your forgiveness for the absence. Again, I absolutely enjoy doing these shows. I am just blown away by the response I get from people enjoying the shows. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for everybody who has stuck around and have had this show in their feed. And, you know, I am going to do my very best to entertain you all and to share my personal stories with you guys, as well as share any other interviews from other X-Series shooters. And it was awesome having Kevin Mullins and Chris Upton and Andrew Billington on the show to share their stories. I had a blast talking to them, and you know, we'll see who else I could find. And now that I have time, anybody who's in the UK, which has been the most the ex-shooters that I've been interviewing have been from the UK, will be able to match up the times much, much easier now. So anyway, on with the show. I am here to tell you about my Summer of Fuji. So in the beginning of the season, I've put this off for far too long. I have had the privilege of using the X-Pro2. I own the X-T1. I owned an X-T, X-T10, and I also own an X-100T. So I'm going to take this wedding by wedding a little bit here. I'm not going to go on and on about like everything that happened at the weddings. I'm going to divide this into three chunks, basically. So, and also I understand the new Fujifilm medium format announcement and all that stuff. I'll save that for the next episode. This episode, it's all about my Summer of Fuji. So let's start with my first wedding, where I rented the X-Pro2. I have in my ownership the X-T1, and I also had the X-T10. So in this lineup, I was intending to use the 35 millimeter lens, the F2 35 millimeter lens with the X-Pro2, 56 millimeter with the X-T1. X-T10 was going to be on backup. However, things changed where just everything was tight spaces. Everything was very close together, and the 35 millimeter was just not going to work out. So I used the 18 to 55 millimeter kit lens and threw that on the X-Pro2. And I have to say that I love the X-Pro2. It is incredibly fast. It is incredibly awesome to use. And it was the very first time that I was able to use a Fuji camera from beginning to end of a wedding. Now, one of the things that really stuck out to me was the optical viewfinder. This is something that I never, ever used, never intended to use. But I have to say that using the optical viewfinder made things extremely fast. Now, the place where the wedding was happening was fairly dark. It was not great, and I threw on my Canon Speedlight onto the Fuji X-Pro2 and just bounced the light off the ceiling, and just having that little extra bounce really helped me just capture the moments. The bride coming down the aisle, and it was a very, very small aisle. This was in a function hall, not a church. So it was a regular reception room, and there were only four rows of chairs. So the quote unquote aisle wasn't much of an aisle. So I needed to really act fast, and I was really tempted to use my Canon 5D Mark III for this, but my gut told me that I'd be okay with the Fuji, and the 18 to 55 millimeter was the way to go. And I only used it at the 18 millimeter. It was fast. Even with the speed light on, it was really fast. And I was able to achieve all of my focus using just the optical viewfinder. It was incredibly, incredibly fast. And my Fuji X-T1 was housed with a 56 millimeter lens. So that was going to be my close-up for special moments during the ceremony. And yeah, I mean, the X-Pro2 was great. Here is another thing that really confused the crap out of me. The ergonomics between the X-Pro2 and the X-T1 are, it might as well be night and day according to my brain, because using that little thumb joystick for the autofocus points was great. However, when I used the X-Pro2 and then switched to the X-T1 for that nice close-up shot, my thumb was searching for that thumbstick and it wasn't there. And likewise, when I would switch from the X-T1 to the X-Pro2, my eyes would go right into the middle, not realizing that the viewfinder was on the left side. So it was little things like that that really confused my muscle memory. Again, it's very small stuff. I didn't miss any shots or anything like that, but I thought it was incredibly funny to go from one field to another and just having that one brief hiccup. But otherwise, nothing. Using the two cameras felt incredibly awesome. There was another little hiccup that I had throughout the night. Now, I was enjoying using the X-Pro2 so much that it was just like, yeah, you know, the ceremony, boom, got it. The portraits afterwards, boom, I got that. I nailed it. And then, you know, when we came in for the reception to start and the announce, you know, everybody was getting announced. The one thing I did not catch, because I was having so much fun with the X-Pro2, was that I did not keep up with the amount of raw files I took with on the memory card slots. Yeah, I missed that. So as the reception is about to begin, the screen goes red saying memory card full. I'm like, what? Oh yeah. So the procession was coming in and I just quickly switched to my Canon 5D Mark III that was waiting on deck and just used that I used that until I was able to switch out the memory cards. Yeah, it just threw me for a loop there. That, again, the little detail, my bad. I thought it was just funny. However, the one thing I still can't get out, can't do very well, and that is during the nighttime where everybody is dancing, I am not able to use the Fujis with that. That is something that I have to use the Canon, because I'm, again, the focus was an issue. You know, that I had to switch back to Canon at that point. So that was wedding number one. I had so much fun with the X-Pro2 that it was just, you know, just incredible. But I really wanted to see what I could do with my X-T1 and X-T10 next time I did a wedding. And so that leads us to wedding number two, where I had the X-T1 as my 56 millimeter lens attached to it, and then the 18 millimeter to 55 millimeter kit lens was now attached to the X-T10. Now, the reason why I use the 18 to 55 millimeter at this particular wedding is because, once again, very close quarters, very tight space. I literally had only one place to stand. It was at a really awesome place called the Butterfly Place in Westford, Massachusetts, where it was just so many people there to see the wedding, and there was not a lot of places where I could move. So I was really hindered to be in one location. to do all my photography. I had my assistant stand in another spot to be able to get some nice close-ups of the groom, and I was able to move to one other spot to get nice close-ups of the bride. But otherwise, I was at 18 millimeters in one spot just because of the sheer proximity to everybody. This was the time where can I use my existing gear to photograph an entire wedding? And the answer is yes. I had really good lighting in the place. I was able to use both cameras solely during this wedding, and it went really, really well. I was nervous, but I sucked it up and I was able to do it. But the way the lighting was in this place was extremely controlled. There was inside this basically it's like this big domed greenhouse. The glass was smoky. It was translucent, but it was not completely translucent. So it was able to diffuse the light, making the place look like an overcast day. So the lighting was perfect. I really had no trouble photographing this event. But it went really well. I have to say, using the 18 millimeters was great. But the thing is, I was not happy with the X-T10. There was just something about it that was just not clicking right. I know it's essentially the same camera as the X-T1, but there's just something that was bugging me, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And I tried it at another wedding. Let's call this wedding number 2.5. And it just was not working well. So my brother was looking for a camera, and that earlier that year I had sold him my X100T because he had a newborn on the way and he really wanted a good camera to photograph the little one. And so I gave him my X100T, and it had the 50 millimeter attachment or the teleconverter which made the camera essentially 50 millimeters. And I, remembering what I had with the X-Pro2, I wondered if I can give the optical viewfinder another chance on the X100T. So I made a bargain with my brother. I said, here's the X-T10. You want to trade? And so he was happy to do that because he wanted to be able to use different lenses for the Fuji. He loved the Fuji system, but he wanted a wide-angle lens. And now that he has the X-T10, he bought himself the 16mm lens, and he is now just so happy. And that's awesome, because now I have back my X100T, and I'm so happy, because I love the 35mm equivalent that it provides. So this brings us to wedding number 3, where I had the prime, that nice prime balance with 85 millimeters and 35 millimeters. So my X-T1 had the 56 millimeter and the X100T had my 35 millimeter. And that went well. Now this particular wedding was happening in Jackson, New Hampshire, and it was, the lighting was like all over the place. It was just partly sunny, partly cloudy. So, and when the sun shined, it shined fierce. So I kept my Canon with me, and I learned something pretty valuable this day, in that if you're going to pick a camera system, make sure you make that decision ahead of time, because during the ceremony, I had my X100 on one side of my hip, I had the XT1 on the other side, and I had my Canon hanging from my shoulder, from my neck. And there was a moment where I froze. Which camera should I use? Should I use the Canon, or should I use the X100? And I almost missed a moment because of that. And like it took me a minute to realize that, hey, I'm arguing with myself. You know, shit or get off the pot. And so shat I did. And I trusted the X100 in that particular moment. So that is like a valuable lesson I took from that, because I could have lost a moment there, and that would not have been good. Wedding number two and wedding number three made me realize something, and that is that every now and then I still have focusing issues with these cameras. When the autofocus is snappy, it's snappy, but there are those moments where it just isn't. And on top of that, during the reception, when it gets dark, there is still the problem of it just not, it's just not great. I need a speed light. And, I was hoping that Fuji would have one by now, but I thought they would have the speed light on the market before I had another episode up. That is not the case. There is just something about Canon that I work incredibly well with their speed lights. That autofocus assist that the speed lights throw out is just, it's just awesome. And I realized that is something, I can't live without. When the speed lights come out for the Fuji, it'll be great to test out, but for the time being, my receptions will just have to be, we'll just need Canon for that. I don't think there's any shame in that. It works extremely well. I have developed a system where, I could just focus using that beam that is projected from that, from that Canon speed light. And if I see those three vertical lines hit a target, I know I've achieved my focus. And, 9 out of 10 times, it's great. I nailed the shot. Not so with the Fujis during those dark moments during the reception. So I have become very accustomed to photographing my weddings using the Fuji and Canon system. If the wedding is outdoors, I'm pretty confident in Fuji, in the whole ability to be able to photograph the moment. If it's inside a church, I'm a bit hesitant, and I know people can do it, but I can't do it. And so I have my Canon there with me to assist me when I feel that the Fuji isn't able to do it for me. But I would have to say that now I'm at a point where I'm probably 60-40 in my Fuji versus Canon usage. 60% going to Fuji now, 40% going to canon. And of course, it's going to vary from the conditions of the church or conditions outside. And, you know, I'm working on it, but at the same time, you know, I had in my head that I need to race to become a Fuji photographer, that things would become better once I was able to ditch Canon. And, you know, this summer made me realize that, you know what, I don't have to give up Canon. And I know that's kind of weird to, you know, because this is a Fuji podcast, but you know what? It's okay. I don't need to have allegiance to one or another. I could have them both. And these are my tools, and this is how I photograph the big day. And I'm happy with that. And that's all good. And it's really, you know, once I realized that, my fall weddings became so much easier to deal with, because now I was able to, you know, I knew what I could carry, what I didn't have to carry. And that was a great feeling to be able to have and to be able to, you know, just, you know, get the day, photograph those candids as they happen, and then, you know, pick up the Canon for, you know, certain things that I needed to photograph. You know, when I need to bust out the Canon, no pun intended, you know, there it is. And then, you know, once the sun goes down, once the light is gone, you know, bust out the Canon and the speed light and have at it. It's all good. This fall, I actually tried something else. And there is one thing that shined above everything else with Fuji. And I didn't think that this was a big deal until I actually used it. That is the Instax printer. Early this fall, early in September, I purchased the... Or mid-September, I gotta say. I purchased the Instax 2... printer. And I used that for one wedding, but I had to transfer files from the Canon, from the Fuji to the iPhone. And then from the iPhone, I was able to print, because at this time, the Instax printer, even though it's a Fuji product, was not able to print directly from the camera. But at the very end of September, that changed and I was able to print direct. And so what happened was, during a wedding that I did, in September, it was a very fun wedding. It was so much fun. The couple was great. They had their, it was a very beer themed wedding. It was very awesome. And we did our portraits beforehand. We were doing the pre-wedding, you know, let's do the first look, and all of that was done on the Fuji. I don't think I used the Canon during that. I think I used the Canon once, but it was 90% all Fuji at this point. And we did our portraits. We had a lot of fun, and it was the bride and groom wanted to take some time to chill out before the ceremony started. And in that time, I went to my backpack and grabbed the Instax printer, and I printed off a series of photos from the portrait session. When I handed it to them, you know, I thought they, you know, just, oh wow, these are cool. No, you handled these little prints like they were gold. They were in awe of the photos. And, you know, they were surprised to see something so soon and something so tangible. They just absolutely loved these prints. And so much so that they actually strung them up and put them on display for everybody to see on one of their photo tables. They just absolutely loved him. And I didn't know if this was just an anomaly or if it was just, you know, something. So I, you know, brought it to the next wedding. And what I did was, you know, we did our portrait session in the beginning. We did our, you know, we did the wedding, and then, you know, they were enjoying cocktail hour, and I printed off a series of them, and then just kind of sprinkled them on their table. And so when it was time for the toasts, you know, they would sit down and, you know, they'd be greeted with a little surprise. They absolutely melted. They loved them. They absolutely loved these prints. And, you know, when I was going around to photograph people during the cocktail hour, I would, you know, some couples that I photographed, I threw off a print and was able to give it to them. And I had I wear a vest during the reception, and, you know, I had the printer in my front pocket. So I would just photograph and then just send it from the X100 to the printer, and then just pop it off and say, here you go. By the way, don't shake it. Don't do that, because it's going to ruin the photo. Yeah, that's a myth that it makes it go faster. It doesn't. So a lot of fun, but they absolutely adored it. And then so now I just use it for everything. I will bring this with me, because of all the things Fuji has made that made the biggest impact, it is the Instax printer. And this is the thing that makes everybody light up. This is the thing that brings the oohs and ahs. This little print that's just okay in quality just makes everybody's eyes light up. And it is the thing that just brings out the emotion. And I find it funny that it's this little device that did it. And, you know, the other cameras, they're just tools, but this is magic. So thank you, Fuji, for that little experience. And thank you for all the Fuji photographers that have suggested that I use this during the wedding. Definitely well worth the price. So a lot of fun. That is my summer and so far fall of Fuji. I did not buy the X Pro 2 originally. I'm actually waiting to try the X-T2 and see what that is like. And if business picks up, God willing, I will pick up either the X Pro 2 or the X-T1, one of the two. But my heart is set on the X Pro 2. There is just something so perfect about the feel and the weight of that camera that is just something that I have to have. Although I might sing a different tune with the X-T2, we'll see. But yeah, so, you know, that is the Cliff Notes version of my experience. Again, thank you for listening. I needed to begin the show to tell you guys what happened, and I couldn't delay anything any further. So thank you all for listening. Thank you all for enjoying. And I will be back very soon to talk about my further thoughts on the new medium format camera. I have a few thoughts on that, as well as some more stuff to come. You know, the Fuji has been doing a lot of really great things lately. And it's very exciting to be a photographer right now, because, like, my God, the sky's the limit. And I mean, Photokina, you had the announcement of the new Panasonic Lumix camera, which looks ridiculously amazing. Sony has some great stuff out there. And oh yeah, Kennen and Nikon are still out there. The mirrorless system for the Canon. That's that again, that's another story. I gotta say though, I'm still happy with my my Canon 5D Mark III. So it's still a workhorse. They still got it, but oh, I am getting closer and closer to being a Fuji photographer, and it's very exciting. Thank you all for listening. I want you to check out the xline.com for updates. You can go there and sign up for the newsletter. You can subscribe to the feed. If you're using iTunes, find us there, subscribe. You know, if you have a chance, what really helps us in the rankings is a 5-star rating on iTunes. So if you're able to do that, that'd be super. Again, I'm not now that I have free time and everything, I'm not going to start the Patreon. I'm very tempted to, but I'm not quite there yet. However, if you do want to support the show, go to thexline.com. And if you really want to support the show, just use the Amazon link if you're going to make any Amazon purchases. And, you know, that's some a way to help out the show. I know everybody seems to have an Amazon link, you know, different things like that. But, you know, I'll just casually mention it at the end of the show here. If you want to help us, that's going to be great. But right now, more than anything, a 5-star rating on iTunes is great. Or just send us an email, xlineshow@gmail.com. Your emails have been awesome. I look forward to hearing from, you know, what everybody is doing, or, you know, just your comments are really, really great. And they really, for the people that did write to me, really helpful during what I considered to be in my point of view, it was a dark moment. And it just makes me feel so good that I'm recording another show, and I apologize if there's any rust to the episodes. I'm so excited to be back on. I'm just kind of letting it all spill out. But yeah, it's great to be back, and I hope I can do you guys proud. And we'll talk again later, hopefully in a couple weeks. I will be back with some more thoughts on the Fuji medium format. I can't wait to talk about that, and we'll take it from there. Thank you for listening. All music for this episode comes from Bensound. For royalty-free music, check out bensound.com.